The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We know their guys play better and more comfortable when they're in there, sleeping in their own beds at home. We got our work cut out for us. What are we looking forward to?
Let's get down to business.
Obviously, he's not himself, but he's a soldier and he's fighting for his teammates.
That's it for this first half. It's been all Milwaukee.
Let's get down to business.
Durant for three. Durant fires and it hits. This is a classic game for Kevin Durant. 2-point Brooklyn lead.
Signature performance for Kevin. Him to have the toughness, the mentality, that's what makes him one of the all-time greats.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby.
What up,
what exactly is it that we do?
We get a people! What? They want
what a show we have for you today. A historic, legendary performance from Kevin Durant to give the Nets a critical Game 5 victory. But we have some breaking news in the NBA, and it is not good for the Los Angeles Clippers. Kawhi Leonard has notified his teammates they need to be ready for him not to be available in not just Game 5, but potentially the entire series. That is the play in which he tweaked that right knee. Jalen, what is the impact of missing Kawhi on this series?
Injury and luck always plays a factor with who advances in the playoffs and ultimately who wins the championship. This season seems different because it's the superstar players on the teams. It's Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers. It's an all-NBA guy like Anthony Davis missing for the Lakers. And Kawhi not being with the Clippers, that distinctly means I go from thinking that they're going to win this series to anticipating they're going to lose this series. That's the impact of the Kawhi Leonard injury. Because the Utah Jazz had the number one record in the entire NBA. They broke a record for three-point shots. And yet, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George finally seem to be hitting their stride. Yep. They had back-to-back 30-point games each. Morris knocked down a ton of threes. Kawhi was dunking on people and really playing with ferocity. So without him, it's really unfortunate for the league and for the Clippers. And obviously, I feel bad for Kawhi. Hopefully, it's not a serious injury, but if he's not able to return in this series, they will not advance.
I agree. And 9 All-Stars have missed time in this postseason, which is just an unconscionable number. But Jalen, I also agree, missing Kawhi Leonard, he is the key to this team. Paul George is inconsistent. Kawhi Leonard is the opposite. He's always there for them. He's always getting 30 points. He's always locking down on defense, and they will not have him, and they will not advance if they don't have him for the rest of this series. That is not the only bad news for NBA fans. Another Western Conference superstar will be sidelined potentially. That is Chris Paul, who is now in the COVID-19 protocol. It is important to note that at this point, right now, we do not know the impact of that. Will he miss a couple days? Will he be available game one of the Western Conference? Or will he miss the entire series? We don't know the severity of his testing positive or contact tracing. But Jalen, if they don't have him, what will that mean?
Well, we had Jay Crowder on the show yesterday, and he talked about the impact of Chris Paul and how it's not about statistics. But I want to tell you something that you missed with Chris Paul. His fourth quarter brilliance. Like, what he's done during the game is basically set up the chessboard and set the table so Bridges can eat, so Ayton can eat, so we can make Booker feel comfortable. And then in the fourth quarter, he became Mariano Rivera, the closer, keeping his turnovers down, his efficiency up, and his leadership has been unquestioned. And so this one isn't so doom and gloom for me, however, like Kawhi, because today's Wednesday. Game one of the Western Conference Finals either is going to be Sunday or Tuesday. I don't anticipate he's going to be out longer than a week. So for me, if he's going to miss, I believe it would be maximum one game. And again, this is only anticipation. But either way, I believe he will return to play most of the next round.
Yes, it is important to know that there's certain, like, a contact tracing investigation can last a couple days and then free him up to play. Or he could have tested positive, have symptoms in which he would be gone for a couple weeks, if not more. We do not know right now. However, those are two major impactful stories for the Western Conference. But, Jalen, we finally get to talk about what Kevin Durant did last night in Brooklyn in Game 5, a pivotal game in the series. Kevin Durant played every single second of the game and scored 49 points, had 17 rebounds and 10 assists. A dynamic, historic performance from Durant. What do you have in a reaction to this performance?
And it wasn't because PJ Tucker had 0 points in the game. Because when he did well against KD, he had 0 points in a previous game, except his plus minus was 11. And for those intimately involved in the league, we knew that this was going to be an opportunity for the easy money sniper to respond. James Harden was hobbled. Kyrie Irving was out. They were going back home. And that stat line of 49, 17, and 10, that has never happened in the history of the NBA playoffs. Just think about that for a second.
Wow.
And also, his fourth quarter heroics, for everybody that doesn't understand how Chris Middleton, that was good D. All nine of his shots were contested. Those last couple of threes that he made, that wasn't his normal shooting motion. Those were like heat checks. If I can see the rim, I'm Iceberg Slim shooting trays from the suburbs. This is money. Effortlessly. And it was a phenomenal performance to see. I also want to make sure I give props to James Harden. Who would have thought he would have returned from being out to doubtful, to questionable, to in the lineup and play more minutes while he was struggling than Giannis Antetokounmpo in that game?
Wow.
James Harden had a play on the left side where he was guarding Giannis on the post. Help was coming. Hey, you need us? You need us? You need us? Fake and fall, fake and fall, fake and fall. He's like, no, I got it.
I'm good.
See, Giannis is supposed to rip the ball through and go dunk on the entire city of Brooklyn. When you take a fallaway jump shot, that right there plays on the psyche of yourself. When you miss free throws late, it plays on the psyche of yourself and your teammates. And then when you drop Middleton's pass late in the game, it causes you to lose the game. So Kevin Durant, they didn't just win the game. They beat the Bucks, and it was because of an all-time great performance by KD.
It was an all-time great performance from KD. However, there's a lot of questions to be asked of the Bucks' strategy in this one. One of which is, why is Giannis not guarding Kevin Durant? Here is what Giannis said about guarding Kevin Durant in the post-game presser.
I want to take the challenge, and you know, obviously, everybody's going to have a chance to guard him, but I would love going to game six to be able to guard him. And if coach wants me to do that, you know, I'm ready for that.
Jalen, why wasn't Giannis guarding Kevin Durant? Why weren't they hunting James Harden on offense? Why did they make these decisions in the second half in Brooklyn? Explain it to me.
David Dowling Jacoby. You and I both know there can't be a person that loves Giannis more than I do. As a matter of fact, I picked them to win this series, didn't I?
Yes,
didn't
you did.
Didn't I pick them to win this series?
Yes, you
okay,
did.
Okay, so let me tell you why I picked them to win this series. I felt that the Nets Big Three only played with each other around 10 times this year. If injuries happened, their chemistry wouldn't be there. I felt like KD and Jeff Green, who was terrific, so was Blake Griffin, we'll get to them, had no chance of guarding Giannis. And yes, he had 34 and 12. But you know what happens when the best player on the other team is having a worldly, out-of-body experience and an amazing performance like KD was doing? You know what should happen during the game? The best player that's the reigning defensive player of the year before Gobert won it this year, he should look at the other 14 guys in the coaching staff, say, I got him. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of people to say, blame Coach Bud. No, you're not blaming the Nets for KD playing 48 minutes. You know why? Because it wasn't about the analytics. We're going to play James Harden 43 minutes. We're throwing out the analytics. You know why? We trying to win. And we need our best players to perform at their best. And usually that means the two best players, when they can go mano-a-mano, that it actually happens. I'm sorely disappointed that Giannis Antetokounmpo did not guard Kevin Durant at all in the fourth quarter when he was having an historic performance, when clearly he has the skills and the ability to do so. Really disappointed in that.
You heard him himself. He said, if coach wants that, then I will do that. You're telling me into this microphone that it's not about coaching. It's not about Coach Bud. It's about Giannis himself just saying, I got him.
Hey, James Harden, how many minutes do you want to play tonight? Well, it depends on how many the coach says. It depends on how many the trainers say. No, they weren't taking him out because it was do or die. Hey, KD, when the last time somebody played the entire 48 minutes of a playoff game in recent history? It rarely happens because you wasn't taking KD out. Who's the superstar of the Milwaukee Bucks, David Jacoby?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
So what is the coaching staff going to say when he says, I got KD. Let me handle that, Middleton. Let me handle that, Tucker. Tucker has already been the discount. I mean, they've already got the bargain for Tucker. They picked him up from Houston. He made some threes in the previous game. He was talked about for days, and I even said it. That was the best I've ever seen KD defending him. But he only 6'5", Jacoby. Mm-hmm. He only 6'5". Giannis has got to take on that challenge, and I'm really disappointed. And so we can talk about what's going to happen in the next game, but guess what? They're ready for it now. They're ready for it now. You said, well, we needed it then. Yeah, it's going to be great for it to happen in the next game, but we needed it in the game where Harden was playing 43 points and you were taking turnaround jumpers. That's when we need it. So you're going to be surprised. I'm sticking with my pick, though. I'm sticking with my pick.
And you cannot blame Coach Bud for the Giannis guarding KD thing, but I do blame Coach Bud for not hunting James Harden on offense. He was obviously hobbled. He had no lateral movement, and they didn't put him in enough actions. They just did not. They allowed him to play as much as he did because could have hunted him. They could have scored him. They could have taken better advantage of that. What a game five in this series. Cannot wait for game six. But, Jalen, we have another update on Aaron Rodgers' status. And this time, the words come from that man himself, the MVP of the NFL.
I can't wait to hear from Aaron Rodgers
as to his offseason right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Heineken. Enjoy Heineken responsibly.
Coming to you live from the Seaport District of New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we've talked about Aaron Rodgers for months, and now we have some new sound from his mouth about his offseason. Let's listen to the MVP of the NFL.
Yeah, it's been one of those quiet off seasons you just dream about where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, you know, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself, to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, you know, I think that's what this offseason has been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player.
Jalen, he's just enjoying himself. No obligations, no responsibilities. What do you make of him kind of joking about his offseason?
That's what happens when you've been with a company 15 plus years and you don't have any guaranteed money left on your deal. He basically said it. His shirt, by the way, says, "I'm offended." Listen to what he said. "I enjoy relaxing. This offseason, it's been great being a football player without the responsibilities of one." In other words, yeah, I'm a football player, but they ain't paying me like I deserve to get paid. So I'm gonna just withhold my services, enjoy my offseason. And athletes are like rental cars, Jacoby. The less miles we put on them, the more that you can still use them later. And so this doesn't necessarily hurt him by not playing. It's going to be interesting to see how this gets sorted, but I don't like the way the team is handling it, because when you look at the list of players who don't have guaranteed money, Aaron Rodgers shouldn't be on this list.
No, he should not.
The Steelers are going to take care of Big Ben. Don't worry about Big Ben. Ryan Fitzpatrick has played for every team in the NFL. Derek Carr is the guy that jumps out to me, along with Jimmy Garoppolo, because Chucky's going to decide Derek Carr's fate, not the other way around.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Derek Carr, because we will see how long he will be with the Raiders in Vegas. But he had something very interesting to say about exactly that. Let's listen.
I'd probably quit football if I had to play for somebody else. You know, I am a Raider for my entire life. I'm going to root for one team for the rest of my life, and it's the Raiders. I think we can all agree that if we were able to pull it off and win a championship here, that would feel much better than just piling a whole bunch of great players together and figuring, joining up and doing it that way. I'd rather go down with the ship, you know what I'm saying, if I have to. When I sign a contract, I completely, in my mind, have to fulfill that.
Jalen, he said he would probably quit football if he were to leave the Raiders. I don't see him finishing his career in Las Vegas. What do you think?
D.C.
Come on, Derek.
Derek.
Mr. Carr.
Let me tell you something, dog. You ain't quitting football when you don't play for the Raiders. So get ready. I know you put probably for a reason. Let's own that. You don't control your destiny, family. It's only like 3 or 4 quarterbacks currently in the NFL that should be making a statement like this, and you're not one of them. Now, I appreciate his love for the Raiders, and you're right. You can root for one team the rest of your career, but that don't mean you're going to only play for one. You know how this business works.
Jalen, the Eastern Conference is so interesting in the wake of last night's Game 5 in Brooklyn, and we now have another pivotal Game 5 in the other series in the Eastern Conference between the Atlanta Hawks and the 76ers. What do you expect from Joel Embiid this evening?
Activity. He really struggled and looked bad in the second half of that game without making a field goal, and also struggling defensively in pick and roll situations and settling. The last offensive shot that he took, normally that's Joel Embiid going strong to the basket and finishing over the top like he did Clint Capella on that play I like. That wasn't it right there.
No.
That wasn't it right there. His legs look fatigued, and being in the arena, like I told you, the team's in a huddle. Joel is either sitting 2 or 3 rows back trying to catch his breath, or laying on the floor looking up at the ceiling trying to catch his wind. I hope he's been able to do that over this last couple of days. And if he's playing like he's capable, the Sixers, in my opinion, still going to win this series.
Well, we will see tonight. And Jalen, in a day that is chock full of NBA breaking news, we have another piece of NBA news that might surprise you. I'll tell you what that is right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. We all saw Kevin Durant's historic Game 5 performance, which puts more pressure on Giannis in Game 6 in Milwaukee. That is Thursday night on ESPN at 8:30, 7:30. Before that is NBA Countdown. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. On a day full of breaking NBA news, we have more. Stan Van Gundy will not continue as the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans, and Scott Brooks and the Wizards could not come to terms on a new deal, so he will no longer be the head coach of the Wizards. Jalen, what do you think about these two coaching vacancies that are brand new?
I got love for Stan Van, JRLA supporter, but when you have Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram on your roster in the Western Conference, and they have to watch young stars like Ja Morant in the playoffs, it's not good for your head coach. In particular for a squad like Memphis, for example, who played the entire season basically without Jaren Jackson Jr. For Scott Brooks, I'm not necessarily surprised by this move, and here's why. The Wizards, who started off struggling, got healthy, and Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, who averaged a triple-double for the fourth year of his career, were outstanding. This now becomes an attractive job. Mm. So, NBA owners, let me introduce you to some new talent in the pool, because Scott Brooks got another chance. Stan Van Gundy got another chance. It'd be great if Mark Jackson could get another chance. If you want a new coach, Jamal Mosley, Chauncey Billups, Sam Cassell, they all come to mind. Darvin Ham, he comes to mind. These are bright young coaches that deserve an opportunity.
We always say we give the people what they want. And Jalen, you know I don't like to pat myself on the back too much. You know what I mean? That's not really my thing. But I just want to say for our podcast listeners is we don't have to do this. But every single day we make sure that we add 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes of extra content for our podcast listeners, because we'll never forget when we were a small podcast at Grantland, just starting out, doing it once a week. Jalen wouldn't text me back for like 3 weeks in a row. We take big breaks. There's like at least 5 times I told my wife, I was like, I don't know if he's going to do the show again. Like, maybe this is how he quits. I don't know how this works. And now here we are every single day giving the people what they want and always doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners, because there are some people that say to me, I watch you guys every day. And some people say to me, I listen to you guys every day. And the people that listen to the pod are the ones that have been down from day one.
No question. And also, as podcast OGs, 10 years in the game, now, respectfully, so many people have podcasts because it's an industry now. But when we first started doing it until now, we understand the importance of new content for the audience. Mm-hmm. We're smart enough to know that you guys are smart enough to know that when we do a television show, you don't want that to also be the podcast.
No.
And
gotta do podcast. It's a different medium. It's a different way of talking. And on the podcast exclusive, we can talk about anything we want.
Correct.
Anything we want. They won't let us take voicemails on the TV show. They won't let us talk greasy on the TV show. But we can do it right now
space. But that's range. That's versatility. And understanding that the audience ain't stupid. So We appreciate the support. And we're going to continue to give the people what they want.
We always will. Jalen, I want to talk on the pod about the Nets-Bucks game last night, because we obviously talked about it on the television portion, but I want to talk to you about it on the pod. I was watching the game, and I'm watching James Harden. And one thing people aren't talking about, James Harden had some key assists. Like, he didn't play well. He played really poorly, probably one of his worst games I've ever seen. But he had some key assists in that game, most notably a nice left-handed zip pass to Kevin Durant for a key layup, nice cut from Durant. But I'm still just shocked. I was watching the game, just shocked. That they weren't involving him in the offensive actions if you're the Bucks. Explain to me. Take me behind the curtain. It was so clear to me as a novice. I never played in the NBA, never coached, never played college. But I'm watching the game like, why don't they just attack James Harden? Can't move. Why didn't they do that?
That was a mistake. There's no excuse that I can make for you, family. Like, you have to find a way to challenge James Harden and not allow him to basically be out there and you really never go at him. And the stat that stands out to me the most emotionally and psychologically is that James Harden returned and played more minutes than Giannis.
46 minutes, dog. 46.
James that might be a season Harden high returned for him. And played more minutes than Giannis. So, if you're watching an NFL game and elite wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, our guy, is playing against the Rams and he's having a great game. And they're moving him all around the field. What do you think Jalen Ramsey gonna go to the sideline and tell his defensive coordinator and his head coach?
I'm following him. I don't care if you got me on the right side. I don't care what you're. I don't care what we practice all week. I don't care what the game plan is, but I'm following him. He lines up in the backfield, I'll be a linebacker. He lines up in the slot, I'll be a safety. He lines up on the end, I will be a cornerback, but I'm following that man around the field.
That's how this works. You are best player. You are franchise player. But I also have to point something else out to the audience. Wilt Chamberlain comes to mind, obviously. But I'm talking about more modern day. Usually people with Giannis's height don't have his agility. I think he's the most agile 7-footer in the history of the NBA. Mm-hmm. Other
KD
than Will.
7 foot. KD 7 foot. KD is 7 foot. And we saw agility from him last night.
I think Giannis is the most agile 7-footer, KD's listed at 6'11", that has ever played in the league.
And KD knows he's 7 foot. He just lies.
Well, he got measured, Jacoby, and they said he was 6'11". Remember, they redid the measurements without shoes. KD's 6'11", fam. Your point is off. So with that being said, Giannis is more accustomed to guarding bigs. So, like, Anthony Davis, that's a terrific matchup for him. Another 7-footer that doesn't necessarily, didn't play shooting guard and small forward in high school, right? It's just a different ask. So, if you ask Giannis to guard the Joker, it'll be fine. If Giannis gets switched on Trae Young after a pick and roll, he'd be okay for 2 or 3 dribbles guarding him. But if you've noticed over the past few years, the elite wing players in the league, they aren't for Giannis to guard. He just doesn't have the lateral movement to guard those guys. He's 7 feet tall, dog. What do you wear, a size 18 shoe? You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, so if you remember, when Kawhi shot them down, we was having the same conversation a couple of years ago before the Raptors went on to win the championship. Why isn't Giannis guarding Kawhi? Now we're saying, why isn't Giannis guarding KD? For all everything I just said about what he isn't and his ability of being a 7-footer, that's where you go to the left side of your chest. And you have to own, I got KD. You got to own that, Jacoby. If you can hear my voice, if somebody tells you that that's Coach Bud's fault, I'll never talk about basketball with you again. You've never truly been at a park. Jacoby, you play rec ball all of the time. How many times somebody on the other team scored 2 or 3 baskets? What do y'all do with your team?
If someone scores 3 times in a row on me and someone on my team says, we're going to switch, I put my head down and I'm sad about it, but I switch. It's just the way it goes. Nothing feels better than when they switch on you. Because I'm not a scorer. You know I'm not that good at basketball. But nothing feels better. If you start the game with like 3 straight buckets and then someone on the other team is like, I got him, and they switch, that makes me feel so good. And Jalen Rose, just because you said my point was off, I want to let you know that Giannis Antetokounmpo officially listed at 6 feet, 11 inches.
Okay, so you're right.
No, I was wrong too. We both wrong.
But how about this? I got something that ain't wrong, though. Here's the people that guarded Giannis. PJ Tucker, 21 possessions.
guarded Durant, you mean? Yep.
Here are the people that guarded Kevin Durant and how often. P.J. Tucker, 21 possessions. Chris Middleton, 14 possessions. Brooke Lopez, 3 possessions. Pat Connaughton, 2 possessions. Giannis didn't even check him, dog.
And another thing is you know better than me, and anyone who really watches the NBA knows this, is you can start the possession guarding Kevin Durant. But what they ended up doing is they just put Robin Lopez, man, would come set a pick. And then when you're asked about it, to say, if the coach wants me to, I will. Like, that's what you're going to say. It's one thing to not do it during the game, which to me is a violation of sort of the basketball gods. But to, in the post-game press conference, to not even say, I will be guarding him next game, is wild to
me. And also, here's another thing that troubles me about all of this. And I use this word, and I tread lightly when I say this word. Humility. I have it in my life, but if you follow me on social media, every now and then,
I love it when you do it.
Every now and then, I make sure that I acknowledge that I'm dope.
You are dope, Jalen Rose.
And the reason why I do that is because all of us woke, to each of us that woke up this morning, I hate to break some news to you, but you were the only person that felt that you were all that.
You know what happens? Let me tell you something, Jalen Rose. You know, sometimes I come home and I'm sitting there and my wife opens the door and she walks in the door. Do you know what she does? Buys herself flowers. Sometimes you can't wait for your husband to get you flowers because I ain't doing it. She comes home with her own flowers and says, you know what? These I want flowers in the house. And guess what? I guess I have to do it.
Correct. And let me tell you why I bring that up. Giannis is a guy, as you know, that I wanted to stay in Milwaukee. I'm glad he re-signed. I voted for him both of the years he won MVP. I voted for him the year he won Defensive Player of the Year. I voted for him this year as All-NBA. Like, he's a legit superstar player in our game. He has 2 brothers that's also in the league. But when we just had a game, and I just named you all of the people that guarded KD, and you ain't one of them, guess what? I don't want to hear from you how great KD is.
Facts.
I don't need to hear that from you, dog. Not right now. You celebrate KD if and when they knock us out.
Or the other way around.
We advance.
Yeah.
That's when you do that. This ain't your time. Imagine if I came on this show and I said, hey, Jacoby, I think you should do the show with Vince Carter. It ain't that Vince Carter ain't a great player or a great analyst, right? It's just that I ain't going out like that. Vince have to fight me for this spot. You see what I'm saying?
Of course.
And
it's a mentality. It's a mentality.
Correct. Correct. And I'm really disappointed that not only did KD do a historic performance, you sat there and watched your guys like we did. I got a funny story that I've never told you that just came to my mind like a light bulb in an 81-point game. I've never told this story.
It this just is why
came
we do the
to my mind
exclusive.
Like a light bulb.
This is why we do the podcast exclusive. Let's have it.
During the second half of that game, Kobe Bryant scored 55 points. Rest in peace, Black Mamba. I love you. You know I'm going to always celebrate you. There was times during that second half that I went over to the coach and asked, could I guard him?
Known defensive stopper, Jalen Anthony Rose.
You know what else I went over to the coach and asked? Can I post him up to make him work on defense?
That makes more sense.
You know what else I asked? Can we double, triple, or quadruple team him? And none of those really happen. Not that I'm a stopper by no means. It's just to give a different box.
Something. Like, it can't be Pat Connaughton. You can't throw Pat Connaughton to Kevin Durant and give him a different look when you got Giannis on the team.
Hey, fam, let me tell you something. When Tyson Fury is about to get ready for Deontay Wilder, he's going to have multiple sparring partners to get him ready for the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Not just one, not just two. You want different styles. You want different body types. You want to just see shots coming from different angles. But more importantly, you can't have him beating up on one guy every day. You just can't have him beating up on one guy. The law of physics, that just does not work, right? So you throw other people at him. Just as noise, just as window shopping, you throw other people at him.
Yes.
And if one of those people ain't Giannis Antetokounmpo, I'm extremely disappointed in that.
Of course. And one thing that cannot be overlooked, and I will not let be overlooked about this game that I watched last night that I was screaming about. My neighbors must be mad because it was fourth quarter late.
Your neighbors complain too much.
Yeah, they do. They really do. And Jeff Green, Blake Griffin, they woke up yesterday morning not knowing if Harden was going to play, saying, I need to show up tonight. My team needs me. Kevin Durant is not going to score 100 points. And they both played excellent games on both sides of the floor. You earlier during this postseason run talked about how important Jeff Green was to this team because there was always this question, who's going to be their closing five? Who's going to close the game? And you know it's going to be the big three and Joe Harris, and who's going to be that fifth person? And we assumed it would be Jeff Green. Blake Griffin has played well. Obviously, there's injuries. But he was so important for them last night. He missed one three, dog. One three.
And also, that productivity up front, his ability to switch and guard multiple positions, too, for two or three dribble and get a contest is major. His ability to spread the floor and knock down open shots is crucial. His relationship with Kevin Durant and the trust that they have for each other is vital. Blake also played with DeAndre Jordan. There are so many relationships within their roster that allows their chemistry to grow on the fly. Because if you think about it, first time head coach, first time assistant, first time roster, KD in and out, Kyrie in and out, James in and out, LaMarcus Aldridge came and went. Like, there's so many moving parts, right? And so that infrastructure of chemistry within the roster with people like Jeff Green are important because KD then doesn't have to be the voice of reason in the huddle. Jeff Green can.
Uncle Jeff.
And it's going to get trumpeted by KD because that's his man.
Also, Jalen.
His man.
Another thing that you won't hear anybody say into a microphone today. What Jeff Green allows Brooklyn to do, no Nick Claxton. No DeAndre Jordan. I think Claxton played like 2 minutes, barely saw the floor. No DeAndre Jordan. You would think up against the Bucks when you've got Lopez out there and Giannis out there that they're going to need bigs to protect the rim, just to throw bodies at people, to put fouls on people. Nope. Jeff Green allows you to not play those players, and we all have seen why those players can hurt you on the offensive end of the floor. Because
correct.
KD doesn't have that kind of space if you've got one of those players in there because you do not need to cover them. What a game. What a game. And another thing I want to say, Jalen Rose, series ain't over. This series is not over. James Harden didn't look good. It took a historic performance from Kevin Durant to win. Giannis dropped a pass from Chris Middleton at the end of the game. Like, this series is not over by any stretch of the imagination. I think we get game seven in Brooklyn. I think we do.
And like many of the series, injuries are going to be the determining factor. And like every playoff series, you need your superstars if you have one and or your best players to show up. And I need a response game from Giannis. And let me bring up a footnote. Because that's what I've been when Kobe scores 81 or Jordan has the last dance. And I've probably seen five opponents get their MVP trophy to start a season, right? So I've seen, like, all of that, right? The one thing about this series that's puzzling in a lot of ways is that the Bucks truly don't take advantage of their height. And you know how much I always talk about this being a tall man's game.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis having James Harden guarding him on the post and Harden waving away to help. Like, he should have ripped through. And I don't say this literally. This is just basketball terminology. He should have ripped through literally. And if he had to break James Harden's arm to do a middle drive and go dunk on the entire Brooklyn Nets team, that's what he should have been trying to do.
Scared to go to the free throw line,
Jay. For him to do a fadeaway, fallaway jump shot.
Scared of the free throw line.
Don't want to go to the free throw line.
That's what it is.
Don't want to go to the line.
Well.
And Brooke Lowe.
We will see.
And
we will see, Coach Bud. Just,
and let me, I got to say one other thing. Hey, Brooke Lopez. At least shoot closer to the three-point line, big fella. Like, you, like, he gonna shoot once from half court, I promise. like, dog. Like, come on, man. Like, seriously, like, Jeff Green is rugged. Is a 6'9 rugged, though. Blake Griffin is playing rugged defense. Yeah, at 6'9. At 7 foot tall, I'm eating off the top of their heads, dog. I'm supposed to be able to get whatever out. Them scoring on the Nets front line, and this is my footnote that I'm getting to, is like KD shooting over Tucker. Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, is the life trait learning portion of the program. This wasn't the first time in the series that PJ Tucker scored zero. He did it in an earlier game in the series. His plus minus was 11. Plus 11.
Game three.
The game after that, not only did he deliver the greatest defensive performance I've seen on KD, especially in the playoffs, but he also made more threes than KD. So both of them went to bed that night and looked down at their phone, looked down at their social media. One guy was getting patted on the back. One guy was getting kicked in the dirt. But the beauty of a series, you jumped up in my face, dog, and you was talking greasy. Even my security guard was about to run out there. And another thing I gotta say, Jokic's brothers allegedly wanted to run to the court too. It's important that I say that because I don't judge people about what they consider doing. That's why I didn't bring it up. I judge people on exactly what happened. And so they didn't force their way to the floor, so I didn't bring it up. With that being said, both of those guys went to bed. PJ was feeling really good about his performance and what people were saying about him in the series. KD was feeling the opposite. And I specifically said out of my mouth, PJ in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I bring up all of the great players that I've played against, right? Because KD knows he's better than PJ Tucker. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, they know they're better than Jalen Rose. But you know what happens? There are nights when I went to bed and I scored more in the game than each of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it wasn't PJ Tucker's night because KD gave him a historic performance. Historic. Well.
I don't know if you remember, but I said the Nets were going to win and KD was going to score 50. And he missed a free throw at the end. But I almost had it on the nose. I almost had it on the nose.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a big free throw. That's a big free throw.
We have
one voicemail today. Don't forget to call 9580-JALEN. We have a voicemail about this game and Kevin Durant. Let's listen to it.
Hey, Jalen Jacoby. It's Eric Mathens. Go Dogs. Shout out to the JRLA scholars, faculty, and staff. And I guess got to do a shout out to Reg, too. The other day, one of you had mentioned the possibility of KD getting a statue outside Barclays. So I've got a question for the world's foremost senior statue expert analyst, Dr. Jalen Rose. Who gets the more prominent statue placement outside Barclays, Christopher Wallace or KD? Thanks, y'all.
Dr. Jalen Rose, your response.
This is an easy one. This is an easy one.
Easy.
This, for real, easy. Like, this is either you sling crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot.
My man, the man said, I represent BK to the fullest. To the fullest. I represent BK to the fullest. Need I say more? Jalen Rose, we will be back tomorrow. Why is that?
Thank you for the call. Appreciate the love. And don't sleep on the fact that Dr. J should get a statue first. Outside, if anything's going to be happening with the Nets. Appreciate the support. Check us out every day at 2 p.m. on ESPN. Download the podcast anywhere you get podcasts. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.